The hopes and expectations for Homeland Security's Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program haven't diminished as the cyber program has rolled out over the past year. Nothing stymied it, but two recent agency procurements indicate people are maybe tired of waiting. Executive editor Jason Miller writes about this in his bi-weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook. Not a column, not a blog, but Jason Miller, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so interesting tidbit here that you've not so much a tidbit, but two big acquisitions seem to be working their way around CDM and going right with an agency specific program.
You're right, Tom. Now, what's unclear is how do they relate back to CDM? Let's start with the most recent one. The Transportation Security Administration put out a request for quote now under the CDM blanket purchase agreement. So just as a reminder, DHS awarded 17 companies a spot under this blanket purchase agreement about late in 2013 timeframe. And what's been happening is DHS and GSA have been working together really to put out procurements against the BPA. They've awarded two major task orders, three, four, five task orders are on their way to be awarded later this year. But what TSA did was said, you know, we're not waiting for DHS or GSA to really make an award for the what they call the agency-wide task cyber dashboard. We're going to do it ourselves. And that just came out about last week, and really their goal is simple. They want some tools or services to support the performance goal of integrating IT infrastructure and data to provide senior management greater insight into high-risk areas while prioritizing investment in areas in which senior management and others have the most interest. So they're basically just calling for, hey, we want to know what's going on our network and then make decisions based on that data, i.e. a dashboard. Now, the thing is, Tom, GSA and DHS, who are working together on this, has made an award to RSA Archer back in December timeframe to provide these agency-wide dashboards. So even if the agency-wide dashboard for TSA at this point is the DHS level, don't you think it would make sense that the same dashboard would be at the subcomponent or the component level, which would be a TSA? That is not the case in this one, and then that's a little head-scratcher there. Why would they go in a different direction than, you know, the whole goal of CDM really is to standardize.
So could the TSA one become the DHS-wide one? Could it work the other way?
That is unclear. Now, I don't think it can, only in the sense that you know, DHS is the first one out of the gate. They had the first task order. They, you know, the award for they're leading this program. So for them to go in a different direction than the other agency-wide dashboards would be a real head-scratcher. So that's why it's unclear about why TSA decided to go with its own procurement. The second one is still also interesting. This is the Health and Human Services. They put out an RFI back in March looking for, again, a enterprise governance and risk compliance tool, again, another dashboard to help manage security policies, controls, risks, assessments, weaknesses through a single platform. So, I mean, again, this is the idea of another agency-wide dashboard. Now, HHS is not a component of anyone, as we know. It's a major department. So for them to say, we're going to look at our own dashboard and not go with, again, the one that was awarded through the DHS CDM contract, that is another head-scratcher. Now, just because we know, Tom, they put out an RFI, that is meaningless in terms of future procurements. They're just doing some quote-unquote market research. They could still end up with the CDM awarded dashboard RSA Archer, but I think these are signs. In fact, one industry source tells me that these may be considering ideas of looking at going their own way. If you look at the HHS RFI, for instance, they may mention the term continuous monitoring. They define it and they use it 11 times. In that same RFI, they only use the term CDM only once, and they don't even define it. And maybe we're just looking through the haystack and finding needles that don't fit together. But the point is that if this was all about CDM, one would assume that it would mention CDM more often.
I guess in my understanding, the continuous monitoring comes first, and then the diagnostics from the monitoring, and then whatever mitigation you have to take would be a subroutine, is the way I understand it.
You know, I think what the Office of Management Budget and DHS have tried to get away from is using even the term continuous monitoring. They really want to stick with CDM. I was just on a panel recently with someone from DHS, and I used the term in passing, continuous monitoring, and she was very quick to correct me to say, remember, it's continuous diagnostics and mitigation. So I'm not even sure they want to use the term continuous monitoring.
Well, they started it, so they better
they started it.
They can stick with it or get rid of it. But it seems like with this Archer RSA award, they brought the beer to the party, but they're not opening it yet, so people are going out to the PACI and getting their own.
And that is the big question. Is it just taking too long to get implemented? Are agencies saying, you know, we really need this tool sooner than later? Or are agencies saying, we don't like the Archer tool and we want our own tool? It's unclear. Now, I did reach out to DHS. I was hopeful to hear back from them yesterday. I'm still hopeful to hear back from them today to get some more context. But, you know, right now we'll have to see what happens when these get awarded and see if other agencies follow suit, or are these two, you know, TSA and HHS, just an aberration when it comes to this program.
All right. Well, we'll have to see what happens there. And there's another item I found interesting in your Not a Column, Not a Blog Inside the Reporter's Notebook. I've got a new name for this. I like
it. Yeah, I don't like it already.
Well, you're the one that said it's not a blog and not a column. Anyway, a glutton for punishment, for RFP punishment, is the Navy.
Right. They're starting the process to recompete what they call their NGEN program, the Next Generation Enterprise Network. If you remember, Tom, this was the follow-on to the NMCI contract.
Yep.
The Navy Marine Corps Internet. We've covered this for decades now, it feels like.
And no, it's this, literally for decades.
Literally for decades. And I made the comparison. It's kind of like the dentist, right? You don't ever want to go to the dentist. Not that there's anything wrong with the dentists out there who are listening. But, you know, everyone kind of dreads that root canal, but they know they desperately need it. And I think that's where the Department of Navy is at. You know, they're about to release their first of two requests for information this summer to begin the process of the follow-on for NGEN. And NGEN's a big contract, man. It was worth about $3.5 billion over 5 years, but it expires in 2018 or 2017. I'd have to check that real quick. But the point is, they got to get it started, and then they want to move it out on it. And I'm just kind of like, oh, wow, they just felt like they awarded this contract, and now they're going down the same process again. And it was not an easy process the first time around, to be clear.
All right, so in other words, NGEN underway, and they're looking for the follow-on to take place sometime in several years.
Correct. Now, the first RFI could be out in July, and then another one to follow in 2016. Now, remember, Tom, the NGEN took 13 months to transition. It cost the Navy something to the effect of $20 million a month for every month it took longer and longer for them to make the transition from NMCI to NGEN, and it cost them an extra $1.2 billion in cost to keep NMCI going. So the officials of the Navy have already been told, you will not get another 13-month transition. You got to get this done sooner, and it must be a better process. Now, the big difference between NMCI and NGEN is NGEN is what they call government-owned, contractor-operated. Now, this is for the Navy side.
Right, and it's somewhat different from the Marine Corps side.
Right, the Marine Corps is government-owned, government-operated, with some contractor support. Under NMCI, it was contractor-owned and contractor-operated, and that's probably why the transition took so long. This transition probably would not take as long, just because it's less complex, because the government owns the equipment, the hardware, the software, etc.
All right, so, well, that's another interesting program, and that whole balance, it seems to go back and forth each era, whether the government should own and operate, or should it be this kind of seat management almost approach, to use another term from yesteryear. But that's really what NMCI was.
Right, absolutely. It was the biggest seat management. And in some ways it worked, in some ways it didn't.
Probably the only seat management.
Well, you saw one at ATF. They had one years ago. NASA had a seat management. I think their Odin contract was considered seat management. So there's a couple that popped up over the years, but mostly they were not as successful as people thought they'd be.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. And the third item I wanted to ask you about is the FITARA policy that came out a couple of weeks ago. I guess the comment period has closed. And what are they seeing in terms of what people are commenting on?
Well, comments actually last for another about 11 days, I think through the 30th, 31st.
Okay.
But the first 2 weeks was really when OMB really wanted the most or the heaviest comment period. So then they could go back, make some changes, then put it almost back out for a second round of comments. But so far, according to the GitHub site, there's only been 6 comments. 2 were technical corrections that were fixed and moved off. And then the other 4 were more substantive But, Tom, they really aren't asking or saying much. One, for instance, is about inspectors general and the need for them to be more independent. It needs to be more clear in FITARA. And another one is basically a comment saying, you didn't mention enterprise architecture in this. It's very interesting that the lack of comments, you know, OMB tried to do something different by putting this draft policy out for public comment, knowing that a lot of people would be interested in it. And so far, vendors have not responded, at least with public comments. Maybe they've sent some privately to Tony Scott and OMB. It's hard to say. But I thought that was interesting. So instead, well, maybe not instead, but in addition to, what came about is actually a new commission. The Technology Business Management Council launched what they call the Commission on IT Cost, Opportunity, Strategy, and Transparency. The acronym, Tom, IT Cost. And this is led by public and private sector chief information officers and other IT executives, really looking at how to improve the spending and the oversight of federal IT.
I guess people that are bored with ACT IAC now can move over to IT Cost.
It's another one where they're trying to bring together people who, you know, you have a firm, you have ACT IAC, you have FCIS. One more is an interesting, but this one's bringing together some pretty, we'll call them heavy hitters, if you will. The CIO of Cisco, for instance, a research scientist from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, George Westerman, as well as CIOs from HHS, Transportation, Interior, Commerce, and Agriculture. So some big, pretty big agencies as well.
And just a final question, could the lack of comments so far on the FITARA guidance be because, to give them credit, the White House did a good job of soliciting input before they created the guidance?
Oh, I think very much so. I mean, if you think about it, they you know, when OMB wrote this policy to implement FITARA, they didn't just sit back and say, we'll do this all in a shell and hopefully we get it right. They reached out to former CIOs. They reached out to the CIO Council. They reached out to the CXO community, as well as former CXOs, so chief acquisition officers, chief human capital officers. And they really asked for input, ideas. They really went through several drafts. So I think that maybe it's a good sign that people think it's a pretty good draft guidance.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks so much for that update.
Thank you, Tom.